So first of all, Anumodhana with all of you who have joined, both from home or meditation center, or who are here at Wat Map Chan. So being in a retreat is like going. If you play sport, then sometimes back in school, you have to attend like a sport camp, football camp, volleyball camp, basketball camp, whatever. But when you go back out of the camp, then you still have to practice. So it is the same. So we have come to practice in a confined space for a certain amount of days. But then when you go back, you also have to keep practicing to train the mind. So those of you who do it from home, it is a bit more difficult, but then you have to put in more effort into the practice, because at home then you will have other things to do. But anyway, I anumodhana with all of your efforts, both here and at home. Longpo Anan and Longpo Somchai have given instruction how to practice, how to develop mindfulness, how to develop samadhi since the first day, staying with the breath, staying with putto, or breathing in, breathing out, and recollect number, breathing in one, breathing in, breathing out one, breathing in two, breathing out two. Whatever method that make your mind peaceful. So, but why do we have to develop mindfulness? We develop mindfulness so that we can cope, we can deal with our emotions when things doesn't come our way like what we want it to be, or we lose someone who is dear to us. There comes a time in your life that you will eventually lose someone that you love. This past year, since I come back from Germany, anyway, the monastery name is Wat Pa Puttha Vipassana. It is in the town of Wassenach, about an hour from Cologne, Germany. But since I've come back from Germany, I've been to many funerals and cremation. It's just this time that the parents of friends and families, they're getting old, or even the lay people close to the monasteries, they get old, they pass away. This is the truth of life. Eventually, we all have to get old, sick, and die. But I can see that those who have practiced before, they can cope with the sadness better than those who don't have the training. It is okay to be sad. It is okay to cry. An example is Visakha Mahaupasika, She's a sotapanna, a stream enterer. But when her niece passed away, this niece is the one that she loved very much. This niece helped her in various tasks. So she's like the how do you say, the favorite child sort of thing. So when she suddenly passed away, then Lady Visakha, she was really sad, but then she can, with the reminder from the Buddha, then she has the mindfulness to cope with the sadness. Whereas on the other hand, there's two other ladies who lose their mind when they had to face with losing the loved ones. This is in the time of the Buddha. The first one is Gisa Kotami. She got married, had a son quite young, I think 3 or 4 years old, who suddenly got sick and died. And in India, I think then and even now, same as in many Asian countries, the sons are very important. So she lose her mind from losing the son. And she just keep carrying her son, the body, the dead body of this son, from house to house, asking for help. And when the good people say that your son is dead, you know, you should let him go, and then she cannot accept that. She just say, no, he is not dead. Someone can help me, can wake him up. He's just sleeping. And she wander to Jetavana, where the Buddha is staying. And she went in to ask for help from the Buddha. And the Buddha said, okay, I will help you. I will resurrect your son. But you have to bring me mustard seed from a house, from a family who haven't lost anybody in the family. So she was very happy that the Buddha will help. You know, surely he can make miracles happen because he is the Buddha. So she went off to the village, to the town, went from house to house asking for this mustard seeds. And every house that she went to, there's someone who has died in the family, whether it's the father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter. So toward the evening, then, because of her past wisdom, and because she sees that, okay, not just her, she's not by herself, you know, she's not the only one who lost her child. Then she start to have mindfulness, and then with the mindfulness, then her past wisdom came up, and she was able to let go, to really let go of her son, that her son is really dead. So she took her son's body to the cremation ground, and then afterward went back to the Buddha and then asked for ordination as a bhikkhuni. And with her practice, she was able to become an arahant. Another example is Patachara theory. Her story is even more dramatic. She was going back to her parents' house to give birth to her second child. And on the way, then she gave birth. And the husband, it was raining. There's a storm coming in. And then her husband went to build a hut to get her out of the rain. But then he got bitten by snake and passed away. Then after she gave birth, then with the rain and everything, she found her husband dead. So that was the first loss. And so she decided, okay, she's just gonna go to her parents. But on the way, there's a river she has to cross. So she told her elder son that, okay, he should wait on this side, and then she will cross over, and then she will come back to get him. So she took her newborn son to the other side, left him there, and was on the way to get her elder son. But then a hawk, an eagle, saw this baby. So the eagle just swooped in, took the child, and flew away. So the mother, she was shocked, and she was waving her hands in the middle of the river. Then her elder son saw the mother waving, so he thought that she's calling him. So he walked into the river. The river was quite strong, so he got swept away, and you know, in front of the mother's eyes. That's the second and third loss. But she still thinks she can go back to her parents. So once she reached the town, the city of Sawatthi, she went to her parents' house. But then she found out that with the rain, with the storm, the house collapsed and killed her parents and her brother all in one night. So within a day, she lost everyone she knows. So with that, she became, she lost her mind. She became crazy. So she started walking and mumbled to herself, everybody I love is gone. Everybody I love is gone. And her clothes came off. You know, she was walking naked. The word Patachara, it means ones without clothes. So her actual name is probably, it wasn't mentioned in the record, but she kept the name Patachara Theri as a reminder, as a code name that you know, I have lost my mind because of the one I love. Anyway, so she wandered to Jetavana, where the Buddha is staying. And with the power of the Buddha, with the Parami, he was able to give her a reminder. Sister, may you be mindful. And with just that, those words, she was able to become mindful again, and she saw that, okay, she's naked, and some other lay person was able to give her clothes, and so she put those on, and the Buddha gave her teachings about, you know, suffering from someone that you love, and how to practice, how to become mindful. And with that, she was able to become Sotapanna and ask for ordination and become Bhikkhuni. And in that life, she was able to become an Arahant as well. So as you can see, if you don't practice, then when something, some emotion, some strong emotion come into your mind, then you will lose your mindfulness. You can even go crazy. But then you have to think that everyone eventually has to die, has to become old, sick, and die. Even yourself. So you can think back, you can think that, what if it is myself who's gonna die? How would your mind, how would you deal with it? Because we, being born as human, we are attached to this body. This is my body, this is myself. So we have to first develop mindfulness, and at the same time, we have to develop wisdom as well. We can recollect that this body will eventually get old, sick, and die. It's just like how Lungpu Cha taught us that a glass, it will eventually break. Or same as this body, it will eventually die. So we have to realize that this will happen before it actually happened. So this is training our mind to accept the truth. Because we all have a certain amount of time in this life. Most of us will not live over 100 years old, not even that. The average lifespan, according to the text now, is 75 years old. So for myself, I'm already 45, so that's already halfway, more than halfway. And so hopefully I can have the rest of this time to develop myself, develop the mindfulness, develop samadhi, wisdom. Even though when you practice, you will face with suffering, whether it's aching your body, your legs, your arm aching, or you will see something that you don't like. But you have to realize that this body, or even this mind, and this self, is actually non-existence. It's not us. So you can do that by develop both mindfulness and wisdom. And you don't have to, it is not like you're gonna sit, meditate, and then the wisdom will, you can let go of this ego on its own. You have to do it little by little, every day. And it doesn't have to be only in your meditation. It can be in your daily life, your activities. For example, at Wat Map Chan, for the monks, Lung Po Anan, he always emphasized on communal work. Because when you're helping out with the community, with the communal work within the monastery, then you're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for others, for the good of the community. It doesn't have to be something big. It can be, you know, everyday chores, for example, helping arranging food in the morning, or sweeping, cleaning duties. I see that many monks, many new monks, they are really determined, and they just want to practice. They want to meditate all day. But by doing that, it can also be developing this sense of ego that I'm doing it. I'm practicing. But if you help others also, you will, you know, little by little, you will realize that, okay, your ego become less. And another example is even when chanting. When I was a young, newly ordained at Wat Map Chan, we didn't have this Zoom session. So it was the most senior monks, whoever was there, would lead the chanting. And everybody is different, you know, they have their own paces, their own tone. So it is different from nowadays where Ajahn Pat, he and Ajahn Tang, they are the ones who lead every day. So I got upset when the senior monk chant too fast or too slow. Got really irritated, and why, you know, why they don't chant the same pace as Thanajan Anan. And sometimes, you know, out of my recklessness, I would try to, if the monks chant too fast, then I would try to like drag the chanting, or if that monk chant too slow, then I would try to like speed up, you know. But then when I get older, I guess I have more wisdom now, and sometimes I have to lead the chanting, either here or at the branch monasteries. Then I find it quite irritating when people do that, what I did. So because we are always judgmental to other people, because there's this sense of self, we are right, someone else is wrong. So we have to try to get rid of this self. And by doing things according to the Vinaya, according to the Kawat, to the follow along the schedule and the senior monks, then eventually we develop little by little to let go of this sense of self. So you come here to practice for this 7 days, 8 days. It's very short. But it is important. Don't belittle your effort. At the end, I would like to give my anumodana with all of you in your practice. I hope that within these 7 days, 8 days, then you can develop your mindfulness, your concentration, and your wisdom. I anumodana with all of you. Satu.